Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I'm the preacher for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning for our Sunday morning Bible study as we continue this theme of prayer. We're looking at the topic of prayer, especially from the Gospels. And this morning, we'll be talking further about the Lord's Prayer. But before we get to that, let me tell you that the Gibson City Church of Christ meets every Sunday at its building on Route 47, south side of Gibson City. We're the first building north of the Pizza Hut. We will meet this morning at 9 o'clock for Bible study. At 10 o'clock, our worship will continue with singing and praying and eating the Lord's Supper, scripture reading, and preaching from the Word of God. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break and we reassemble for a second Bible class. And on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have a midweek Bible study. And we invite you to come out to that. It lasts for an hour. We have classes for all ages. And we have a website. You could probably get the most amount of information about us without actually coming and meeting us by going to our website, which is GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. And there you can find information about our beliefs. We're just trying to be followers of Christ. You can find Bible correspondence courses, courses that you can work on the computer. You can find audio files of the sermons. You can find audio files of this series on prayer. You can find our Sunday bulletins there to download and read. And so there's just a lot of information there, and there's an email address if you want to get in contact with us by email that you can access. And so again, that is GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. Well, I want to get to our study this morning. We've been talking, we started last Sunday actually talking about the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. We saw what Christ had to say about hypocritical prayer. We saw what he had to say about heathen prayer, and now we're to the point where he says to his followers, when you pray, pray like this. And one of the major things I've been trying to emphasize thus far is that Christianity is a relationship, and nothing stresses that better than the Lord's Prayer, the way it starts, Our Father who art in heaven. Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not like Buddhism or Hinduism or Confucianism or any other philosophy. It's a relationship. And to have a relationship, you have to have people. You have to have persons. A marriage is a relationship. To have a marriage, you have to have two persons. In Ephesians chapter 5, after Paul has said some great things about the husband-wife relationship, he says, I speak a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And one of the great truths that he's wanting us to understand from the marriage arrangement is that in Christianity, we are in a personal relationship. God is present. Now, we can't apprehend him by our physical senses, but he is present. He hears us when we speak to him. He sees what we're doing. He's involved in our worship. And so Christianity is that vital relationship between an individual and God, and Christ in the Lord's Prayer really stresses this great truth. Now, the Lord's Prayer is given in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Christ says, when you pray, pray like this. And what that tells us, when he says, pray like this, that tells us that the prayer he gives is not a prayer to be memorized and regurgitated anytime we want to pray. This is not a sacrament that if we just quote it, if we just say it, some kind of blessing comes to us. You know, a prayer a day keeps the devil away. That's not what this prayer is all about. This prayer is a template. It's a model that we use to build our prayers on. We can follow the format that Christ has given us here in Matthew chapter 6. And so understanding that, what are some of the characteristics of the format? Well, I would begin by noting that this prayer of Christ that we call the Lord's Prayer, but is actually the disciples' prayer, divides into two parts. In verses 9 through 10, there are three petitions that are in the second person that are for God. In verses 11 through 13, there are three petitions that are in the first person, and they are for Christians. And the first thing I would note about the prayer template, the prayer format God gives us, is that God comes first. Now, I know we often pray, and the first thing we're wanting to do is to get right to whatever problem we're dealing with. We want to rush right into our needs. But Christ says, before you ask for bread, you remember that God has some legitimate concerns, and you need to address those concerns first. And what are those concerns? They are God's majesty, hallowed be thy name. They are God's rule, thy kingdom come. The word kingdom refers to the rule of God, the dominion of God. In fact, the word kingdom is a combination of the two words king and dominion. And so a kingdom is the king's dominion. It's the king's rule, the kingly authority. It's what the king exercises. So when we pray for the coming of God's kingdom, we are praying for the coming of his rule. And we pray for his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's how the kingdom comes. That's how God can rule in our life. That's how God can rule in the church. It's when his will is done on earth as immediately, as completely, as fully, as lovingly as it's done in heaven. Now, after we have addressed God's concerns, then we can get to our concerns. Then we can get to man's needs. And the first thing I would note about the petitions that we pray for ourselves, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What I would note about those petitions is that they encompass all tenses, present, past, future. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a request for the present. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses. That's a request for the past, for things that we have done in the past. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a request for the future. And not only do these petitions encompass past, present, future, they encompass the Godhead. I think in praying these petitions, we ought to be reminded of every member of the Godhead. Give us this day our daily bread. Who is it in the family who provides bread? Well, it's traditionally the Father. And so when we ask for our daily bread, we're asking for the Father to provide for our physical needs. When we pray for forgiveness, I think the Son, God the Son, comes to mind, because it was God the Son, as Jesus Christ, who was the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who died at Calvary, by whose blood we are forgiven. And when we pray, lead us not into temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, Christ has a direct encounter with the devil. And three times the devil tries to lead Jesus into temptation. And you know what it is that keeps Jesus from sin in each temptation? It's his reliance upon the Word of God. Three times in response to the devil's temptation, Jesus quotes the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is the one by whom the Bible was revealed to man. And Christ goes to this word that was given by the Holy Spirit to Moses, and relying upon that word, quoting that word, By obeying that word, Christ was kept from sin. And so when we pray, lead us not into temptation, the example of Jesus shows us that the word of the Spirit is powerful and mighty and quicker than and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word can safely lead us, not only away from sin, but when we find ourselves surrounded by evil, when we find ourselves in trouble, whatever the nature of that trouble may be, the Word of God can sustain us and strengthen us and lead us out of any evil we find ourselves in. And so, that's the template. And having said that, I now want to talk in some detail about each of these terms and petitions that we have here in this prayer. And so let's begin by talking about the word Father, our Father who art in heaven. Now, you know, it takes more than a dictionary definition to define a word. We define words based on our experience, not based on what we find in a Webster's dictionary. And I think this is particularly true in regard to the word Father. I had a wonderful father. I couldn't have asked for a better father. To me, the word Father is a word that speaks of love. It's a precious word to me. But I realized that not everybody had the father I had. Not everybody had the experience I had growing up. There are some people to whom the word Father is synonymous with the devil. And I believe I said last week that if that's the case with you, if you have a hard time relating to a loving, merciful, compassionate Father, what you're going to have to do is to get into the Gospels and see Jesus Christ for who He was, the kind of person He was, how He dealt with people. Because in seeing Christ, you're seeing the Father. In John chapter 14, Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Christ says, "Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father." And so if you don't have a physical father to fall back on to inform your understanding of what that term father means, then you've got to go to the Scriptures. And you've got to let the example and the teaching and the love of Christ define that term for you. Now the word father has two primary meanings. The first meaning involves paternity. A father can refer to the male role in the birth of a child, in the conception of a child. But you know, it's possible to sire a child without ever seeing the child. That happens all the time. Chicago, Illinois is filled with men who have fathered a child and who have never seen that child, have no interest in seeing that child, are not involved at all in the life of that child. And so the word father then has a second meaning in referring to fatherhood. Fatherhood describes the parent-child relationship, and it implies a relationship of love and intimacy and trust. And I think that's what it means here in this prayer. I think that's how Christ is using it here when He says we're to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know, God, by virtue of creation, is everybody's father, lowercase f. But He is only the Father, uppercase f, to those who have been born again, to those who have been recreated by the blood of Christ. And Christ here is not talking about the fact that God is our Father just because He's created us and we owe to Him our existence. He's talking about God the Father because we are His children in His family by virtue of His grace and our obedience to His will. There's a word that's used in the New Testament that really gets at the idea here, and that's the word Abba, A-B-B-A. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ prayed, "Abba, Father." And Paul says in the epistles that we can pray to God using that word Abba. And the word Abba is the word a little child in Judea would have used to address his father. It's what we would call daddy. And so without being disrespectful, we can think of God as our daddy, as our Abba, in that loving, caring, accessible relationship. And my time's up. And so we will continue our study through the Lord's Prayer next week. And I hope you'll be with us for that. And until then, I hope you have a very good week. And I look forward to being back with you next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.